Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 23rd. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's only March. Don't worry. It's only March. March the 23rd. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit. I have a post at the American Thinker this morning where I talk about the cancel culture and what's really interesting going on in the cancel culture. And I guess the best way I can tell you is be careful what you tweet, because whatever you tweet it is going to come back to haunt you in this cancel culture. And something very interesting is happening over at this magazine called Teen Vogue. Now, I don't know if it's still a paper magazine or an online magazine. Honestly, I don't know. It really doesn't matter. But I'm not familiar with whether it's a print or online magazine. But there was a very interesting incident there, and that's what my post is about today, because there's a young African-American editor of that magazine. And, you know, she is very much in line with the liberal way of thinking and, you know, very much in line with the woke philosophy. But somebody dug up some tweets that she had written some years ago that apparently somebody found very offensive. So they dug them up. Well, naturally, she apologized and deleted them and, you know, did what I think most people would do, say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to write that, and that was stupid of me, but that was not enough. That was not enough for the woke cancel culture. They called for her resignation, and I think that they have driven her out. But here's the funny part. The person who was driving this campaign to get this young woman out also has a history of tweets, and these tweets are coming out now. So she's probably going to get caught up in this as well. And I think this is what's happening. This is what's happening, that the cancel culture, and this is perhaps the best sign that this cancel culture is starting to turn the corner and we're starting to, you know, walk away from it a little bit. Because now they're going after each other, and now they're destroying each other. So I tweet something you don't like, you call me out, but then I dig you up and I see something you tweeted that I don't like, so I call you out. And these people are basically killing each other. They're killing each other, and I don't know what's going to happen to this magazine or online magazine or whatever, but I mean, obviously they're going to have to make personnel changes. And really, I mean, if you start looking at just about everybody's background and everybody's history, there's always going to be a tweet that offended somebody. And especially if you're part of the woke culture, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to express yourself. You're not supposed to say anything that deviates from the cancel, let's say, religion. And it's interesting, though, because you're seeing more and more. You're seeing more and more of these people in the cancel culture who are really, really eating each other alive. They're just eating each other alive. And maybe that's the good sign. Maybe that's the way this thing will end, when these people realize that, hey, we're killing each other. We're no longer going after conservatives. We're now going after each other. And maybe that's a ray of hope. Maybe that's a sign that, you know, this is finally starting to be in our past rather than our future. But I consider, and I've said it many times, I think the cancel culture is one of the worst things that has ever happened. One of the worst things that has ever happened. Now, there have been throughout history things like this. Okay, this is not the first time in history that this has happened. Something like this, similar to this, happened in the 1950s when Senator McCarthy started looking for communists. And, you know, there's the old funny story of Lucille Ball, who was accused of being a communist because when she was 11 years old, I guess she attended some communist meeting with her great-grandfather or grandfather back then. And so it's happened before during the McCarthy years. It happened. It also happened, of course, throughout history. And there have been, you know, in 1966, 67, when you had the so-called Cultural Revolution in China, I mean, they pretty much cleaned up the country. And anything that Mao didn't like was burned up and thrown away and destroyed. I mean, this cancel culture in many ways is similar to what happened in China back then. But again, the good sign is that I think that it's coming back to them now. It's starting to hurt them. And I think that's maybe the best sign of all, that this cancel culture is starting to burn up, you know, burn up a little bit. And we could use it because I think, as I said before, I think this cancel culture is the worst possible thing that we have ever done to the country. It is absolutely sickening, the idea that you write something, somebody's offended, so they want to bring you down. Okay? If you write something that offends somebody, well, apologize to that person if that person's offended, but come on, don't take things down. Don't, you know, put people out of business because they wrote something that you don't like. I mean, that's just totally, completely insane. So hopefully, now that they're starting to go after each other, hopefully this cancel culture is going to go away. Well, I got to say something about this gun control debate. Every time that we have one of these tragedies, obviously we had one in Atlanta, terrible tragedy. We had one in Colorado, terrible tragedy. And in both cases, in the case of Atlanta, the media ran out and they wanted to do the Asian narrative, you know, that it was motivated by hatred of Asian people. Well, that didn't pan out because nothing in this guy's past would suggest that. And the police said, no, that's not what this is about. The director of FBI recently said, no, that's not what this is about. Over in Colorado, there was a guy who apparently bought an AR-15 a few days ago and unfortunately killed some people with it. But, you know, he got the gun legally, and I'm sure he got it legally because when he went to buy the gun, there was no record of, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the Democrats are calling for background checks, but what exactly background check would have prevented what happened in Colorado? I mean, the idea of the background check is that you pick up criminal history, you pick up information, but apparently this guy in Colorado was completely clean. So if you have a completely clean person who buys an AR-15, you have to sell it to him. I mean, you have to sell it to him. Now, unfortunately, in this case, the AR-15 was used to kill a bunch of people, I guess, at a grocery store. But, you know, I would like to ask the Democrats exactly what gun law would have prevented what happened in Atlanta and what happened in Boulder, Colorado. I mean, well, what law would have prevented this? We already have a bunch of rules and regulations in these states with respect to these guns. I mean, Boulder, Colorado is one of the most liberal cities in the country. Atlanta, Georgia is run by the Democrats. So exactly what would have changed anything? The answer is nothing. Nothing would have changed because we're talking in both of these instances with irrational people who did something completely irrational, and there's no gun law that is going to stop that. Now, I have always felt that we should do background checks. I mean, I've always felt that if you want to buy a gun, you should at least show some information that you're not crazy or criminal or whatever. That's okay. But the other reality is that a lot of these people can get guns in the black market if they really want to kill people. So my whole story about this is the best way for a citizen to defend himself is not for the government to pass a bunch of laws, but frankly, you got to defend yourself. You got to understand that there's people out there who want to kill you and your family, so you got to defend yourself, which is why I believe very strongly in these rules in many states that allow people to carry a gun. Because, you know, you have a gun, you can defend yourself. You can at least shoot the man who is sitting there, hurting other people and killing other people. It reminds me of the story down in South Texas a few years ago when there was a really crazy person who walked into a church and started shooting, and all these people are on the floor. And he was eventually stopped because there was somebody outside the church who ran to the car, got a gun, and either killed or disabled the shooter. That's the only thing that's going to stop this. That's the only thing, honestly, that is going to stop this. Passing all these laws, I mean, it just creates a lot of conversation. It for some reason, the Democrats love to talk about this. They love to talk about, oh, we got to do a background check. We got to do this. We got to do this. None of that is going to work. If it worked, it'd be working already, and it's not working. So it is really shameful that every time we have one of these tragedies, the first thing the Democrats do is give their speech on the Senate floor on how we have to pass gun control laws. It's a shame, but they do it every time. They do it every single time. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 23rd. Well, if you have a convention center in your city, and I guess pretty much anywhere in the country, you may get some new neighbors because they're moving people from the border to different convention centers. I just read that the convention center in San Diego is going to be turned into a place where they're going to shelter some of these people. We have that situation here in Dallas where they have 3,000 people at the Dallas Convention Center. The question I have is, how long is that going to last? Because they don't really answer any questions. That's another thing about this government. The Biden government, they don't answer any questions. You know, they don't say anything about what their plans are. And the convention center, the last time I checked, the convention center is actually a very profitable place for the city of Dallas, because we get a lot of conventions here because of the airport, because of the Dallas Fort Worth airport and the excellent traffic and good weather that we have generally. We get a lot of conventions here because it's very easy to travel to Dallas Fort Worth from anywhere in the country. So we get a lot of conventions. I guess what are they going to do now? What are they going to do with these conventions? I mean, how long are these people going to be here? What happens to the people who've rented the convention center for conventions? I mean, when are they going to move these people? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's all a big secret. The next thing that's going to happen is that former ambassador to Mexico, Roberta Jacobson, she was ambassador to Mexico, I believe, under President Obama. Not for very long, but she was also there. Now, she was also a part of the negotiations with Cuba. When Obama opened diplomatic relations with Cuba, she was also involved in that. But apparently she's going down to Mexico as part of a delegation. They're going to sit down with the Mexican government, and they're going to try to figure out what to do. They're going to try to see how they can work with Mexico. The problem is, my guess is that the Mexican president is pretty angry about what the Biden administration has done, because all these people are coming through his country. I heard a survey today that 45% are Mexicans, 40-something are Central Americans, so that gets you, let's say, to 85 to 90%. The others are from lots of countries. And where do these people come from? How do they get up here? Well, we hear stories that they're coming up here because they're paying criminal elements to bring them up here. So this whole thing is a mess. Mexico cannot be very happy with it because the agreement that Mexico and the United States had put together under Trump, that agreement was actually working pretty well for Mexico because the Central Americans and the people were not coming, because once you know you cannot get in, you're not going to come. So now, of course, we're into a situation where I don't know how much Mexico is going to cooperate. Obviously, President Biden would love to get Mexico to do something, but the Mexicans are angry, and they have every reason to be angry because they pulled the rug from under their feet. So I don't expect a lot of major negotiations out of this, but they are sending a delegation down to Mexico, and they got also Central America, I guess, and they're going to try to see what they can do. But I think at the end of the day, not much is going to be done, because this is a mess. This is a mess that the United States has created. Mexico had nothing to do with creating this mess. In fact, Mexico was helping us by shutting down the southern border and simply shutting down the traffic up here. So we'll see how that turns out. Not very well, probably, for the Biden administration. You know, nobody talked about this during the campaign. Remember anybody talking about this? I certainly didn't. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.